Let's turn in the Word of God to the book of Hosea and chapter number 14. Hosea chapter number 14. And the Word of God says in Hosea chapter number 14, O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with you words and turn to the Lord. Say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. So will we render the calves of our lips. Asher shall not save us. We will not ride upon horses, neither will we say any more to the work of our hands. Ye are our gods, for in thee the fowlerless findeth mercy. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. I will be as the dew unto Israel. He shall grow as the lily and cast forth his roots as Lebanon. His branches shall spread, and his beauty shall be as the olive tree, and his smell as Lebanon. They that dwell under his shadow shall return. They shall revive as the corn and grow as a vine. The scent thereof shall be as the wine of Lebanon. Ephraim shall say, what have I to do any more with idols? For I have heard him and observed him. I am like a green fir tree. From me is thy fruit found. Who is wise? And he shall understand these things. Prudent, and he shall know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them. But the transgressors shall feel therein. Amen. Just let's unite our hearts together before our God. Father God in heaven, we thank thee for the privilege of being gathered in thy house today and with the open book in our hands. I pray, O Lord, that thou wilt be pleased to come and minister to our hearts today. I ask thee, Lord, that thou wilt speak to each soul gathered in thy house. We pray for the presence of God to be known. We pray for the voice of God to be heard. We pray, O Lord, for the will of God to be wrought in this meeting today. We pray, Lord, as we've just been singing, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. We yet pray, Lord, especially for God's people, that thou wilt cause us to look into the mirror of God's word and see how we truly stand before God. Lord, if there be anything that would take thy place today in our hearts or our lives, Lord, we pray you will reveal it to us that we might turn from it and back to our God. We pray, O Lord, for those who are cold today, for those who are not walking right with God, Lord, that even today in thy mercy thou wilt come, and Lord, thou wilt minister to their heart and draw them back to thyself. Heal their backsliding, we pray. Pray, O Lord, for those who are not saved, that today, for the first time, they'll step out in faith in the promises of God's word. They'll get under the blood. They'll know what it is to be saved. We ask thee, Lord, that in this gathering, thou wilt not take our minds up this morning with worldly things or temporal things, but, O Lord, take us up with eternal spiritual things. We ask that the word of God will come to us powerfully from heaven itself. Lord, I pray, in Jesus' name, you empty me of self and of sin. Give me clean hands and a pure heart to stand before this people, to be faithful to my God. And I pray, Lord, you fill me with thy spirit and help me just to honor thee through the preaching of thy proclamation and of thy truth. Lord, lead me in the way which I shall go. I pray in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. We've studied in the Old Testament various sections, the first five books, of course, the Pentateuch, the first five books of Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Then we came to the section which was called the books of history, from Joshua right through to Esther, and primarily those books recount facts that have happened in Israel. Then we came to the books of wisdom and poetry, from Job to the Song of Solomon, and those were books for practical, everyday living wisdom as we walk before this world and, of course, before the Lord. We studied the books of the major prophets from Isaiah to Daniel. And now we're coming to the minor prophets and we're coming to the book of Hosea. And then that takes us right through to Malachi. They're called minor because of their size. There aren't as many chapters in these books as there are in the books of the major prophets, but they're equally important as the rest of Scripture because all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And someone once said, the minor prophets have major things to say And it's a shame that many times we go maybe to the bigger books of the Bible and neglect the wisdom of God's word and the truth of God's word in these smaller books. And I pray over the next number of weeks as we look at them, the Lord will bless us and give us a desire to read them. They're shorter in size, and therefore they can be read, most of them, in one sitting. And I encourage you to go home after we've looked at the word of God, after we've studied it, and read right through the book and try and get a grasp of it. The background of the book of Hosea. Well, the name Hosea means salvation. It really is a variation of the name Joshua, and then in the New Testament of the name Jesus. So they come from the same root word, based upon the word salvation. And we find that Hosea ministered to the northern tribes of Israel, the northern kingdom of Israel, and you'll find in the word of God that that kingdom is referred to as Ephraim. If you've your Bible open there in chapter 14, verse number 8, it says, Ephraim shall say, and that is the northern part of the kingdom of Israel. It was a time of prosperity in which he ministered outwardly. The harvest was good, the financial situation was good, there were lots of people coming to the temple, and outwardly it looked very prosperous. But inwardly it was a time of moral corruption and spiritual unfaithfulness. And therefore, the word of God and this particular book has a threefold message. It's this, that God hates the sins of his people. God hates the sins of his people. Secondly, God will judge the sins of his people if they're not repented of. And then thirdly, God's love and mercy are freely offered continually. And you know, nothing has changed because God hasn't changed. God still hates the sins of his people. God will judge the sins of his people, and God's love and mercy are freely offered to forgive the sins of his people. Hosea ministered under King Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. He had a 40-year ministry from approximately 755 BC to about 710. He ministered at the same time as Amos. They lived together up there in the northern kingdom, and at the same time as Isaiah and Micah, who lived in the southern kingdom. So therefore, we're going to just do a quick overview of the book, and then I want us to look specifically at chapter number 14. It's really divided into two sections. The first three chapters 1 to 3, are about the personal life and marriage of Hosea and Gomer. And the Lord caused him to live his life before men, and through his life there was a parable, or there was a testimony of how the Lord viewed Israel at this time. Her lifestyle, that really of a harlot, represented the heart of Israel, being unfaithful to the Lord. And he was called to marry this woman. Chapter 3, verse number 1. It says, Then said the Lord unto me, Go yet, love a woman beloved of her friends, yet an adulteress, according to the love of the Lord toward the children of Israel, who look to other gods and love flagons of wine. So the first three chapters really are a practical or a pictorial shot of what was happening in the land, and it was seen in the life of this prophet Hosea. Then when we come to chapters 4, right through to chapter 14, this is the national message of God to the people of Israel. We find they're accused of spiritual adultery. They refuse to repent. They face the judgment of God. And then, after that judgment, they are restored unto the Lord. The promise of God, the love of God is shown in Hosea chapter 14 as they return unto the Lord. The book really is a book to the backslider. You know, the word backslider or backslidden only occurs in a few books of the Bible. In the book of Proverbs, it says, The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. Proverbs 14, verse 14. It speaks about backsliding in Jeremiah. We'll look at a few verses that speaks of backsliding in Hosea. And this book specifically is very much to the backslidden people. In Proverbs 14, 14, it says, The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. In other words, he will be taken up with his own ideas, his own plans, his own truths, his own standards, rather than the standards of God's word. And that really does describe the backslider. He has set aside the word of God. He has set aside the authority of God in his life. And he is back in control, ruling his own ways. Now, if you turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 2, I just want to leave a couple of verses out of Jeremiah to just really deal with what backsliding is. Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse number 19. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse number 19. And it says there in the word of God, "Thine own wickedness shall correct thee, and thy backsliding shall reprove thee. Know therefore and see that it is an evil thing and bitter that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God, and that my fear is not in thee, saith the Lord God of hosts." And here in this passage or this verse, we see that backsliding is an evil thing. It is a bitter thing. It's something that has consequences because you have forsaken the Lord. You're not following after the Lord. And friend, this morning, as a Christian, if you're not following after the Lord, then the reality is you're doing an evil thing and a bitter thing and something that will have consequences in your life. If you are not following after God, and if you do not have the respect and reverence or the fear of God that you once had. And if you turn over the page there to chapter 3 and verse number 6, the Lord continues to speak here about the backslider. "And the Lord said also unto me in the days of Josiah the king, Hast thou seen that which backsliding Israel hath done? She has gone up upon every high mountain and under every green tree, and there hath played the harlot." And there we find very strong language. And the Lord says to the one who no longer is giving him that time, that devotion, that place, that reverence, that love, the Lord says to that one, "You're playing the harlot. You're being unfaithful. You're committing spiritual adultery." And we sang at the commencement of this service about the Good Shepherd. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. He restoreth my soul when I'm weary. He giveth me strength as my day." And the one who gives all good and perfect gifts, if your heart is not following after him this morning and he saved you and yet your heart is far from him, then you're backslidden. But look what it says in verse 14 of that chapter. "Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you, and I will take you one of a city and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion." And here's the wonderful truth this morning. Even though we wander from God, and even though we follow after other things, and we do commit spiritual adultery, and we do that which is evil, and we do that which is bitter, and we do that which is against the Lord, such is the mercy and the love of God that in the covenant of salvation in which he has saved us, he does not disown us, and he does not cut us off, but he says, "I am married unto you. I'm still your God. Your heart has gone away. Your feet have wandered. Your affections are now for another, but I'm still your God, and I'm calling you to turn." And as we come to the book of Hosea, we'll see what exactly it is that the Lord does when we turn on to him again from our waywardness and from our wickedness. Dr. John R. Rice once answered the question, "What is a backslider?" And a backslider is a saved person who falls into sin. A lost sinner cannot be backslidden. You have to go somewhere before you can slide back. But one who is truly born again, a child of God, falls into sin as a backslider. It may be outrageous and gross sin known to everyone. Or it may be coldness of heart or lukewarmness of heart instead of a burning fire of love for God. But when a Christian loses any of his joy or loses part of his sweet fellowship with God or falls into sin, then he is a backslider. When a person, a Christian, loses any of his joy or loses part of his sweet fellowship with God or falls into sin, then he is a backslider. And it could be this morning in God's house, there are those, if they're honest before God, are backslidden in heart. It may not be evidenced in your life, but you know as you sit before God this morning, you're not where you should be, you're not what you should be. The fire that burns so brightly is just a small flickering flame this morning. You know your life is not the better for it. You know your testimony is not the better for it, and yet it seems to be that you haven't come back. Well, let's come to Hosea 14 and see what the Lord would say to the backslider this morning. It says in Hosea chapter 14, O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God. You see, here we have a personal command. In verses 1 to 3, a personal command. And the Word of God says here, first of all, about the condition of the backslider. It says, return. They've wandered from God. It says, you have fallen. You have fallen by their iniquity. Now, that word fall, it means to totter or to waver, not to be steady at all, to falter, to be weak. And you know that because perhaps whenever temptation comes, you just give in now. You don't fight it. You're not as faithful as you once were. You're not as loyal to the things of God as you once were. And you're tottering or wavering today because of your sin, by thine iniquity. And that word means perversity and it means sin. And can I say this morning, any sin that takes you away from God or causes you to be weak and stumble, which is any sin, is a perversity against God. Christians sometimes categorize sin. That's a gross sin. That's a heinous sin. But any sin that is against God, should it be a small lie? Should it be a deceitful motive? Should it be bitterness of heart? Should it be one word wrong? It is perverse. It is wicked. It is against God. Why? Because Christ died for those sins. Any sin that you're saved from has cost the Savior his precious blood, his life, his agony, his sweat, his tears. And any sin is a perversity and it's evil in the sight of God. Don't be content this morning because you're just enjoying the small sins. And you're not involved in the gross immorality of others or the grand deceit of others. If your heart harbors sin knowingly and joyfully, then friend, that's perversity in the eyes of the Lord. Now, if you turn with me to Hosea chapter 4, the Lord does zoom in on the actual problem of Israel, his people. And it says in chapter 4, verse 1, hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel, for the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there's no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. Now, that word truth actually means stability. There's no stability in the land. And then it says mercy, and that means kindness. No stability and no kindness in the land. Why? Because there's no knowledge of God. And as we look around the United Kingdom today and other countries that once were on fire for God, we can honestly say there's very little stability. And there's very little kindness because there's little knowledge of God. But sad to say, in some Christians' lives, there's little stability. And there's very little kindness because there's a lack of knowledge of God. And it is impossible for you to be a stable Christian and to be a kind Christian if you are not a Christian, if you are not reading the Word of God and not praying to the God of the Word. And how sad that men and women seek to try and live for the Lord without God. It's impossible. Do you find your life unstable today? Up one minute, down the next. Sometimes involved in the work, sometimes not. Sometimes come, sometimes don't. Sometimes engage, sometimes unengage. Do you find yourself harsh, unkind, nasty, bitter? I'm talking about God's people. Do you find in your heart that you're continually battling against wicked, evil thoughts against others? Friend, there must be a lack of knowledge of the things of God. Because the true Christian who is walking with God will be stable, faithful. God doesn't ask for successful Christians, as it were, in terms of having lots of things to their name. He asks for faithful Christians who are stable. But he asks for kind Christians, merciful people. And let's be honest, our hearts often lack mercy. And sometimes it's because of the hardness of the world, and we harden ourselves that we'll not get hurt, and as a result, we become unkind. But how sad that that would be the mark of our lives, and that was the mark of Israel at this time. No mercy, no kindness. No knowledge. But what takes the place of those things? What took the place? Well, verse number 2 says, swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery. They break out and blood toucheth blood. And there's fighting and there is anguish and there's controversy. And these things are real, and these things were the mark of Israel. Now, you might say, well, I haven't killed anybody, I haven't stolen anything, I haven't committed adultery. Let's not forget that the Word of God reminds us it's not just the physical that God hates, it's also the spiritual sins God hates. And while you may not have killed anyone physically, you may have killed them with your lips. While you have not stolen anything, you may have stolen spiritually from God by not giving to Him what's rightfully His, by stealing reputation of other people, by stealing time that is owed to God, and committing adultery, loving something more than the Lord. How sad. What's the result? Look what it says in verse, therefore the land shall mourn, they shall lament, they shall bewail. Because that which is good and proper and right and God glorifying is no longer found. And then it talks about languishing or drooping or being weak and being feeble. And I tell you, a land which is away from God is a weak, feeble, barren land that's going to languish and cry. And a Christian that's away from God is a weak, barren, languishing Christian who is going to mourn at the end of the day. So what does the Lord say for us to do to get away from that condition? Maybe that is you today. Maybe it's not you, but whatever. What does the Lord say to you to get away from that position and to get away from being one who is angry and bitter and lying and stealing and committing spiritual adultery? What does the Lord say to you? Well, verse number 2 of chapter 14, it says, take with you words and turn to the Lord and say unto Him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously, so will we render the calves of our lips. And what's the thought here? The thought here is that you have a responsibility to own up to your sin. You have a responsibility to own up to your sin. And folks, it's your responsibility. I have to own up for mine, and you have to own up for yours. And it's interesting, the Lord says, take words. You need to pray to the Lord. You need to talk to God today. You need to confess, Lord, this is where I am. Look at my iniquity, my sin, that which is against thee. Lord, look at it today. Please take it away. Lord, please forgive it. Lord, receive me graciously, lovingly, as you have promised to do. And you know, the very fact that he's praying, receive us graciously, means he's praying the promises of God, because the Lord has promised to graciously receive us. And you can take the word of God. Lord, this is what your word says. You'll graciously receive us. Lord, graciously receive me today. And as a result, there will be a change in my life. I'm confessing my sin before God. I'm claiming the promise of the covering of God, the graciousness of God, and there's going to be a change in my life, a change in my attitude to sin, and a change in my action against sin. Look what it says, so will we render the calves of our lips. Now, the word calves there is the thought, it does literally mean the calf or the bullock in the field, but it is the thought of strength. And it's the thought of power in your tongue and upon your lips. And instead of using the strength and the power of your tongue to do that which is evil and against God and ungodly and unchristlike, you will render the calves or the strength of your lips. And that word render means to make good or to change. You'll change the way you speak. You'll change the way you walk. You'll change what you do with the power God has given to you. We have very powerful instruments upon our lips. We can use them for good or evil. And this is what the Lord says will happen when a backslider comes back to Him. There will be a change upon their lips and in their life. Notice what it says in verse 3. There has to be not only the condition of the backslider acknowledged and the requirements of the backslider fulfilled, but look at the understanding of the backslider. It has to be found here in verse number 3. Asher shall not save us. We will not ride upon horses, neither will we say any more the work of our hands, ye are our gods. So there's three things here that cannot save. Three things that cannot take the place of you confessing your sin before God. Three things that cannot take the place of repentance or do the work of God. The first thing is Asher. What does that speak to us? People. People can't change your condition. Oh yes, you can speak to people about your condition, but they can do absolutely nothing to change your heart, to cover your iniquity, to change your attitude. No man, no woman can do anything for your backsliding. It's only God. But then notice what it says. It says, neither will we will not ride upon horses. What's that speak of? Well, that speaks about the power of the world. And you know, it does remind us in the Word of God that Israel were not to use horses in the battle. In other words, the strength of man. They were to rely on the strength of God. And here we think about the power of man and the power of the world. And you know, there's no power in this world that can change you. There's no rehabilitation program that can change you. There's no book you can read that will make a difference. It's only God can make a difference in the life of a backslider, or a sinner for that matter. And then it says about our own hands, neither will we say any more the work of our hands, ye are our gods. The personal efforts and works of man cannot save or restore them unto the Lord. Maybe you're here this morning and say, well, I will go to church more and I will pray more. Folks, if that's all you do, make resolutions and decide you'll do this and you'll do that, that will not change your standing this morning. It's only the Lord. For in thee, the fatherless find mercy. What man does for you, yes, can be a blessing, but it can't change your soul. The powers of this world, whether in self or in another, cannot change your soul. The personal efforts and works of your hands cannot save your soul. But while we have a personal command here, praise God, we have a precious covenant made between God and the people. Look what says verse number 4. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. And sometimes people are scared to come to the Lord because of the sin. They're nearly embarrassed, as if God doesn't know, and they don't want to let God know how wicked they've been. God knows it all. And God says to come and to speak to him. And here's the promise. He will not mock. He will not rebuke. But if you come in confession and plead the mercy and grace of God, he says he will heal your backsliding. He will heal it. What does that mean? He will cure it, make it whole. The thing that has caused you to be spiritually weak and spiritually sick and to be off the mark and to be against God, thank God he will change that and he will heal it and he will make you whole again. I will love them freely. There'll be nothing between you and the Lord. And his anger will be turned away from us. And that does speak to us, friend, about the covering work and the sacrificial work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the only way that the anger of God is turned away from any sin is because of the work of atonement wrought by the Savior upon the cross of Calvary. It's by the covering of the blood. So when you're praying, Lord, forgive me, you're saying, Lord, forgive me. What Christ has done on the cross, may that be my merit. May that be my covering. May that turn away thine anger from me. And then look at the growth there is. There's peace with God because our backsliding is healed. But verse 5, look at the growth. I will be as dew unto Israel. He shall grow as a lily and cast forth his roots as Lebanon. And there's growth. The dew speaks of growth. Whenever it comes in the morning, it waters the ground, that the grass and the flowers might grow. And it was necessary for survival, especially in Israel. But then he says, not only will there be growth, but they shall grow as the lily. And the Bible says, consider the lily, its beauty and how it's clothed by God. Only in the Lord can such beauty be found. Only through the Lord can you live a beautiful life. Only in the Lord can you do something that's beautiful in the eyes of God and in the eyes of man. And then it says, he shall cast forth his roots as Lebanon. And that speaks of the mighty cedars of Lebanon. It speaks about strength. It speaks about power. Only in the Lord can such strength be found. Lord, we need the Lord for everything. We need him for growth. We need him for our beauty. We need him for our strength, that our lives will count for the Lord. And you see, when you grow for God, look at the influence it's created. Look at verse number 6. Here's the influence. His branches shall spread. His beauty shall be as the olive tree, and his smell as Lebanon. What does this teach us? It teaches us that whenever we're right with God, when we peace with God, when we're growing in the Lord, our lives will have an influence for good. The first influence here is the branches, and that speaks of the shade. What does it shade us from? It shades us from the heat of the sun. And it could be that your life will be such an influence to others, that whenever they're in the battle or in the heat of the midday sun or whenever things are difficult, by your life and by your testimony and by your example, you'll be one who brings them comfort and shelter because you reflect the glory of God and you point by your life to the Lord and you encourage them in the Lord and you care for them in the Lord and you love them in the Lord. And what is growth through the branches? It's an evidence of life. It's because there's a good source of water and food. But folks, if there is the good source in our lives, then there will be branches that will spread out. And there'll be evidence that God is in control of our lives. And not only that, it says there that his beauty shall be as the olive tree. And that word beauty means honor and glory and grandeur. There'll be something beautiful about his life. It'll be the glory of God. And then the smell shall be as Lebanon. And that really does come from a word which means to perceive. In other words, it's the thought of when I smell something, I understand what it is. So if I smell perfume, I know that it's perfume. If I smell the beauty of the flowers, I know what it is. And the thought is here that what comes from your life, as people see it and as people perceive it, they'll understand that the beauty of your life and the beautiful fragrance of your life is from the Lord. It's from the Lord. It's not that you're just a good person. It's not that you just are a kind person, but that you're a Christ-like person. You're a godly person. I don't know about you, but I would rather be described as one with the branches growing out and one with the beauty of the lily and one with the smell of Lebanon that declares the glory of God in my life than the one who's lying, stealing, committing spiritual adultery. Friend, there's no contest here this morning. We ought to flee to the Lord. And finally, and just I'm leaving this with you because of time, but we have thought about the personal command, and we've thought about the precious covenant, but finally, the practical conduct. How do we keep going with the Lord? How do we keep walking with the Lord? But look at verse number 8. Ephraim shall say, what have I to do any more with idols? I have heard him, and I have observed him, and I am like a green fir tree. From me is thy fruit found. And here we find, what does this man do to keep going on with God? There's a person to study. It says there, I have heard him and I have observed him. And as a result, there's growth in my life. A friend, the way for you to heal or to stop backsliding is to hear the Lord and to observe the Lord. How long has it been since you talked with the Lord? Told him your heart's hidden secrets. How long have you stayed? How long since you prayed? Or how long have you prayed? How long have you stayed on your knees till the light shone through? How long has it been since you've talked with God? How long has it been since you've listened for God? How long has it been since you've observed the Lord in the Word? Because it's from the Lord, and this is the Lord's response: from me is thy fruit found. True worth, true blessing, true life, true joy is whenever Christ is put first in life. And then the final thought is this: who is wise, and he shall understand these things, prudent, and he shall know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them, but the transgressors shall fall therein. Not only is there a person to study, but there's a path to walk upon. It's the ways of the Lord. Friend, there's a right way to live, and there's a wrong way to live. There's obedience and there's disobedience. There's godliness and there's wickedness. And here it says, who's wise, who's prudent, who will know these things? The ways of the Lord are right. The just shall walk in them. The ways of the Lord. You know what that teaches me? Provision. God has made a way for me. God has made a way for you. plan for our lives. Walking, what does that teach us? It teaches us progress. Whenever we follow the Lord, whenever we look to the Lord and love the Lord, we make progress in our lives in the ways of God. We'll go further with God and forward with God. And it also talks about power, because it says the transgressor shall fall therein. Thank God we will not fall if we're walking with the Lord. As we bring our time to conclusion this morning, I ask you this question: how do you stand before God? I'm not asking you to go to church. I'm not asking you, what have you actually done this week? I'm asking you in your heart, are you following after God? Or do you have to be honest and say, no, no stability, no kindness, no word? Well, the devil desires you to stay right there. But God says, turn. Turn. And I will heal your backsliding. I will love you freely. My anger will be turned away from you. And I'll cause you to grow and make you a godly influence in the place where I've called you to be. So what is it this morning? Will you turn to God? Let's pray. We do humble ourselves before thee, O Lord. We ask for forgiveness for the times we thought so well of ourselves, and even times, Lord, whenever perhaps we've been able to think things such as, well, God's blessed to have me. Oh, Lord, forgive us. We're nothing but sinners saved by grace. And even as Christians, Lord, we sometimes wander. Sometimes, Lord, we have to confess we even choose the sinful way over the righteous way. And we ask, Lord, for the wisdom of God that will give us discernment to choose what's right. We ask for forgiveness, Lord, for those things that we have done that really are the actions of a backslider. We thank you, Lord, you're so merciful that you will heal our backsliding. But Lord, only if we turn to thee. And I pray this morning in this congregation, as each child of God examines their heart, if they're not where they ought to be, oh God, I pray you'll call them again. Before they leave this sanctuary, before they walk down those steps, oh Lord, speak their name. And may they turn on to their God. Lord, we pray this week will be a week of influence. Godly living. Oh Lord, forbid that we should be like the world, yet claim Christ. Take away our pride. Take away anything that would hinder us from confessing our need before thee this morning. And work in our hearts, we pray. Thank you, Lord, for your love and your mercy, and for this message you've given to our hearts this morning. We pray we'll see fruit for the glory of God. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.